Back Talk, ages 15 to 19. Now is the right time. Age 17. As a parent or someone in a parenting role, you play a vital role in your teen's success. There are intentional ways to grow a healthy parent-teen relationship, and growing your teen's skills to communicate respectfully provides a perfect opportunity. Conflict happens in families, between spouses, among siblings, and between parents and teens. Arguing in family life is typical. Back talk can be defined as argumentative replies. Teens can respond in anger, hurt, and frustration, using hurtful tones or words. But backtalk also represents a power imbalance teens are trying to rectify. Power, after all, is a basic human need. Teens and young adults ages 15 to 19 are growing their listening, empathy, assertive communication, and problem-solving skills. Growing your teen's skills to respond assertively but non-aggressively is essential to their success. Anyone may face challenges with backtalk. You can't tell me what to do. Your teen may exclaim in anger and frustration when you say no to an unsupervised party where peers may be drinking. Your teen's responses can make you angry and upset. As your teen develops, they must test their limits and rules to internalize them. This can lead to arguments between you and your teen. They will also have evolving emotional needs and may lack the communication skills necessary to ask for what they need. Using the steps below can help navigate this challenge with skill. The steps below include specific, practical strategies and effective conversation starters to prepare you. Why backtalk? Whether it's your 15-year-old screaming, "I hate you," in a fight, your junior in high school shouting, "No, I won't stop," when screen time is over, or your 19-year-old crying, "It's all your fault," when they get rejected by their college of choice. Establishing healthy ways of responding to life's most challenging moments is a vital skill your teen needs to thrive. Today, in the short term, teaching skills to respond to disagreements in healthy ways can create greater opportunities for connection, cooperation, and enjoyment, trust in each other, and a sense of well-being and motivation. Tomorrow, in the long term, teaching your teen effective ways to communicate their feelings and needs develops a sense of safety, security, and self-belief, grows skills in self-awareness, self-management, social awareness, relationship skills, responsible decision-making, and deepens family trust and intimacy. 5 steps for managing backtalk. This 5-step process helps you and your teen communicate your toughest, most emotional moments in ways that do not harm. It also grows essential, critical life skills. The same process can also address other parenting issues. Here is a tip. These steps are done best when you and your teen are not tired or in a rush. Here is a tip. Intentional communication and healthy parenting relationships will support these steps. Step 1. Get your teen thinking by getting their input. You can get your teen thinking about healthy ways to communicate by asking them open-ended questions. You'll help prompt your teen's thinking. You'll also better understand their thoughts, feelings, and challenges related to how they feel when confronting them so that you can address them. In gaining input, your teen has a more significant stake in anything they've designed themselves, and with that sense of ownership also comes a greater responsibility for solving their problems, has more motivation to work together and cooperate because of their sense of ownership, will be working in collaboration with you on making informed decisions, understanding the reasons behind those decisions, about critical aspects of their life, and will grow self-control, empathy, assertive communication, and problem-solving skills. Actions. Consider what challenges your teen in their ability to communicate in healthy ways. For example, if your teen is hurt or feeling rejected, it's a normal reflex for them to lash out in self-protection. Begin by considering the following. Ask how your teen feels when arguing with a family member or friend. What makes you upset or mad at a friend, a relative, mom and dad? What feelings do you experience? If your teen has a hard time labeling their feelings, you can provide guesses. Your teen will likely correct you if you guess wrong. For example, when I asked you to turn off your phone to join us for dinner, it seemed you were mad. Is that right? How does your body feel when you're upset? Name how you physically experience being upset, whether it's a red-hot face or a racing heartbeat. Have you hurt another person's feelings when you've argued? How did that feel? Be sure to express empathy for negative feelings your teen may express. You could continue modeling by adding, I have felt horrible too when I've gotten heated and said things in anger. It is helpful for kids and teens to know you make mistakes too, and that you also know how to take responsibility and make amends. How might you have argued differently to express your needs but not harm the other person? Use your best listening skills. Remember, what makes a parent or someone in a parenting role angry or frustrated can differ significantly from what angers or frustrates a teen. Listen closely to your teen's concerns without projecting your thoughts, concerns, and feelings. Step 2. Teach new skills. Intense feelings like anger and hurt occur as you go about your daily life, so you may not consider their role and impact on your teen. Intense feelings can majorly influence the day and your relationship with your teen. Your teen is learning how to be in healthy relationships, and the learning process, they will make mistakes and poor choices. How you handle those moments as a parent or someone in a parenting role can determine how you help grow their conflict management skills. Learning about developmental milestones can help you better understand what your teen is experiencing. Here are some examples. 15-year-olds may feel sensitive to criticism and preoccupied with peer impressions. Conflict may arise if teens fear failure in front of you, their teacher, or their peers. 16-year-olds may feel more confident. They may have new goals outside of school, and along with them, they may experience stress and worries. They might be tempted to stay up late studying or socializing, but that lack of sleep challenges their self-control and ability to manage anger and anxiety in healthy ways. 17-year-olds may become highly focused on their academic and life goals and the stress of adult choices ahead. Conflicts may arise with you as they assert independence, but also feel fragile, vulnerable, and scared of their future adult lives. 18 and 19-year-olds are considered emerging adults. At times, they may exude confidence, while others may feel highly insecure and run to you, needing comfort and security. Conflict may arise as you renegotiate your relationship. Teaching is different than just telling. It grows basic skills, grows problem-solving abilities, and prepares your teen for success. Teaching also involves modeling and practicing the positive words and tone of voice you want them to use, promoting skills, and preventing problems. It is logical consequences for unmet expectations. Actions. Reflect on how you currently model communication when you're upset. Any actions, words, or tones of voice you use with your teen will be repeated and mimicked back to you by them. If you yell, your teen will yell. If you criticize, your teen will criticize. Consider how you react to your teen when you are upset. Ask yourself, if my teen repeats what I say and in my tone of voice, will it be acceptable at home? In public? Consider which words, actions, and tones you want to see in your teen and which you do not. Next, decide what words, actions, and tones you do not want to use so you only model what you want to see and hear. According to research, the following fighting habits hurt others and destroy trust. In fact, these will encourage more backtalk from your teen. These fighting habits should not be used to forge healthy communication with others, including your teen. Do not use physical force. Using physical force in a conflict signals that the individual has lost control and only believes they can regain it with physical dominance. This is harmful and breaks trust. Do not talk about others negatively when they are not present. The healthiest way to address a problem is to go directly to the person with whom you have the problem. Do not criticize. Judging or commenting on a person's character hurts the other. Instead, focus energies and words on solving the problem at hand. Do not show contempt. Using hostile humor, sarcasm, name-calling, mockery, or baiting body language harms the other person. These all involve some kind of aggression or character attack. Do not become defensive or blaming. Pointing fingers and saying, you, language, is blaming. Words like always, never, and forever cannot represent the truth and break down trust. Own your feelings and role in this situation, and the argument will remain constructive. Do not stonewall. Actively refusing to listen, shutting down the argument, or giving the silent treatment harms the other person and breaks trust. Learn to use I messages. At a family dinner, talk about how it challenges adults and teens alike when arguments occur. You want to communicate in ways that do not harm one another. Share an example of an argument you've had and how each person reacted without judging what they did. Focus on the problem only. Try using an I message for that same issue. Here's the structure. I feel, insert feeling word, when you name the words or actions that upset you. Because this structure helps the individual take responsibility for their feelings and role in the argument while avoiding you blaming language. Try it out in a parent-teen argument. I feel frustrated when you keep playing video games, and I've told you it's homework time because I feel disrespected. This tool can empower a teen to regain their power without harming you or another. Continue to teach your teen to repair harm. A critical step in teaching teens about managing anger is learning how to repair harm when they've caused it. Harm could be physical, like breaking something, or emotional, like hurting someone's feelings. Mistakes are a critical aspect of their social learning. Everyone has moments when they hurt another, but that next step matters in repairing the relationship. Here is a tip. If your teen finds it difficult to give you a feeling word, offer them options and ask which ones fit their true feelings. This will help expand their feelings vocabulary. Step 3. Practice to grow skills and develop habits. If you seize the opportunity, your daily disagreements can allow your teen to practice vital new skills. Practice grows vital new brain connections that strengthen each time your teen works hard to manage feelings, words, and choices constructively. Practice also provides essential opportunities to develop consequential thinking, or the ability to think ahead to the impact of a particular choice and evaluate whether it's a positive choice based on those reflections. Actions. Allow your teen to assert their needs in small and more significant ways, like speaking up at the store when there's a problem or encouraging them to discuss a grade with their teacher. Be sure to consider how to create the conditions to support their success, like offering coaching or guided open-ended questions to prompt thinking, so your teen learns to become their best problem solver. Share a range of feeling words regularly to become more comfortable expressing feelings. Practice I messages on more challenging problems and various issues, including friendship conflicts. Then, when in a heated moment, gently remind, "Remember, it could help to use an I message." Practice deep breathing to help you calm down when you have spare moments together, such as while waiting in line, driving in the car, or at bedtime. Step 4. Support your teen's development and success. At this point, you've taught your teen how to meet their challenges with skill and persistence, and you are allowing them to practice so they can learn how to do these new tasks well and independently. Now you can offer support when needed by reteaching, monitoring, coaching, and when appropriate, following through with logical consequences. Parents, or those in a parenting role, naturally provide support as they see their teen fumble with a situation where they need help. This is no different. By providing support, you reinforce their ability to be successful, teach cause and effect thinking as they address problems and conflicts, and help develop skills in taking responsibility. Actions. Initially, your teen may need active support. Use "show me" statements and ask them to demonstrate how they can work to resolve a problem. For example, you could say, "Show me that we can disagree without making hurtful statements toward one another." Recognize effort using "I notice" statements with a positive tone and body language to express excitement and curiosity, such as, "I noticed how you approached me when you were upset with your feelings and needs. It worked, didn't it? That's excellent." On days with extra challenges, when you can see that your teen is frustrated or feeling incapable, proactively remind your teen of their strength. In a gentle, non-public way, you can whisper in their ear, "Remember how you talked to me yesterday? You can use that same strategy with your friend today." Actively reflect on how your teen is feeling when approaching challenges. You can ask questions like, "It seems like you are holding on to angry feelings toward your friend. Have you talked to him yet? What options do you think you have?" Be sure to reflect on the outcomes of possible choices. Apply logical consequences when needed. Logical consequences should come soon after an inappropriate behavior and need to be provided in a way that maintains a healthy relationship. Rather than punishment, a consequence is about supporting the learning process and avoiding harm. First, recognize your feelings and practice a calm-down strategy when needed. It helps to know which calm-down strategies work best for you and have a plan. Not only is this good modeling, but when you control your emotions, you can apply logical consequences that fit the behavior. Second, invite your teen to a reflection about the expectations established in step 2. Third, consider a logical consequence of their actions as a teachable moment. Be sure to consider the following questions before deciding. 1. What will you teach with this logical consequence? 2. Has a natural consequence already taken place? 3. Will the logical consequence be connected to the poor choice so that you can teach cause and effect with the action? Learning new behaviors to replace inappropriate behaviors takes time. Your teen will likely not do it right the first time, or even the second or third. That's okay. What's important is that you approach growing skills to manage conflict by understanding feelings, teaching new behaviors, and practicing while maintaining a healthy, supportive, loving relationship with your teen. Your healthy, supportive, loving relationship with your teen is most important. Here is a trap to avoid. Don't continually repeat yourself. Teens often need more time to deal with their feelings and approach someone with whom they are upset. Be sure to wait enough for them to show you they can address their problems independently with your support. Your waiting could make the difference in whether they can solve their problems. Step 5. Recognize efforts. No matter how old your teen is, your positive reinforcement and encouragement have a significant impact. If your teen is working to grow their skills, even in small ways, it will be worthwhile to recognize it. Your recognition can go a long way in promoting positive behaviors and expanding your teen's confidence. Your recognition also encourages safe, secure, and nurturing relationships, a foundation for strong communication and a healthy relationship with you as they grow. There are many ways to reinforce your teen's efforts. It is essential to distinguish between 3 types of reinforcement: recognition, rewards, and bribes. These 3 distinct parenting behaviors have different impacts on your teen's behavior. Recognition occurs after you observe the desired behavior in your teen. Noticing and naming the specific behavior you want to reinforce is vital in promoting more of it. For example, you talked with your sibling about what was bothering you. I love seeing that. Recognition can include nonverbal acknowledgement such as a smile, high five, or hug. Rewards can be helpful in certain situations by providing a concrete, timely, and positive incentive for doing a good job. A reward is determined beforehand so the teen knows what to expect. It stops any negotiations in the heat of the moment. A reward could be used to teach positive behavior or break a bad habit. The goal should be to help your teen progress to a time when the reward will no longer be needed. If used too often, rewards can decrease a teen's internal motivation. Unlike a reward, bribes aren't planned ahead of time and generally happen when a parent or someone in a parenting role is in the middle of a crisis. To avoid disaster, a parent offers to buy ice cream if the teen will stop arguing and leave the party. While bribes can be helpful in the short term to manage stressful situations, they will not grow lasting motivation or behavior change and should be avoided. Here is a trap to avoid. It can be easy to resort to bribes when recognition and occasional rewards are underutilized. If parents or those in a parenting role frequently resort to bribes, it is likely time to revisit the 5-step process. Actions. Recognize and call out when things are going well. It may seem obvious, but it's easy not to notice when everything moves smoothly. Noticing and naming the behavior provides the necessary reinforcement that you see and value your teen's choice. For example, when teens complete their homework on time, a short, specific call-out is all that's needed. I noticed you spoke to me respectfully instead of arguing. Excellent. Recognize small steps along the way. Don't wait for significant accomplishments, like the full bedtime routine going smoothly, to recognize effort. Remember that your recognition can work as a tool to promote more positive behaviors. Find small ways your teen is making an effort and let them know you see them. Build celebrations into your routine. For example, after you've completed your bedtime routine, snuggle and read before bed. Or in the morning, once you're ready for school, take a few minutes to listen to music together. In closing, engaging in these 5 steps is an investment that will strengthen your skills as an effective parent or someone in a parenting role on many other issues, and develop essential skills that will last a lifetime for your teen. Through this tool, teens can become more self-aware, deepen their social awareness, exercise their self-management skills, work on their relationship skills, and demonstrate and practice responsible decision-making. Center for Health and Safety Culture 2024. BackTalk, ages 15 to 19. Copyright 2024 Center for Health and Safety Culture at Montana State University. This content does not necessarily reflect the views or policies of the Tools for Your Child Success communities, financial supporters, contributors, SAM, HSA, or the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services.